when I was spending time with all the Indigenous people, one of the things they would speak the most about is the purpose. In the Western world, one of the things that they spend the most time on is talking about diet and exercise. The West focus on what's outside, what people see, and the East focus on what's inside, what's the root cause of the problem. When I started to connect the dots between them, I noticed that the glue that was binding them all together was that everything is energy.
Hi everyone, welcome to How to Live, a podcast that explores ways to live a good life. I'm your host Sharad Lal. This is episode 61. Does the daily hustle suck your energy? Today we're deep diving into energy optimization and thriving with purpose. We have with us an extraordinary soul, a beacon of inspiration, and an energy optimization coach, Elika Dasker. Elika's journey took her across the globe, from the shamans in Central America to the indigenous communities in Australia, New Zealand, and Ayurveda in India. With over 7 years of profound learning, Elika has blended ancient wisdom with cutting-edge science. Through this, she founded the Health Concierge, aiding ambitious leaders not only in reaching their potential, but flourishing in a state of inner peace and joy. Having walked the corporate path herself and ventured into entrepreneurship with restaurants, Elika empathetically guides ambitious professionals through self-exploration. In today's conversation, we delve into the intricate world of energy, identifying leaks, resetting, and understanding the synergy between ancient traditions and modern science. We unravel the root cause of burnout and anxiety, and in conclusion, we explore purpose. What is it? How do we find our path? And ultimately, how do we thrive? Elika's wisdom spans across diverse realms, and her infectious energy is bound to elevate your spirits throughout this episode. But before getting to this, thank you very much for supporting the podcast. Folks in 125 countries listen to us, and we're in the top 5% of the world. Do consider following us, and if you love the show, please do rate us. Thank you in advance. Now here's the conversation with the incredible Elika Dasker. Hi Elika, welcome to the How to Live podcast. How are you doing this morning?
I'm very good. As I mentioned earlier, fresh off a fast, so I'm actually feeling very high energy.
You've done so many wonderful things. You came to Singapore in the corporate world, did very well there, started a restaurant, which I really loved and many people will know about it.
Yeah.
And now you have a health concierge into energy optimization professionals. What's led you down this path?
Oh, I feel like I'm in such a beautiful place in my life where I'm able to reflect on this, because obviously when you look at how you got to a place in reflection, it's very different to when you're going through it. But the truth is, it's been my own transformational journey that's led me to what I do today. That is being highly ambitious, coming from a single parent family where I was very driven to succeed in life and very independent. And burning out, just getting to that point where I was looking for all the wrong things in my corporate career, and mainly that was recognition from all the wrong places. That led me to do things that really weren't supportive of my body. It taught me how to numb my body and to move forward regardless of what my mind, my heart, and my soul said. To summarize, it was my transformation that got me here.
You talk about burnout and then thinking about your body. Was that the first time you got connected with your body, and what was that experience like?
Yeah, luckily I've always been sporty all my life. I think I'm a natural athlete. So when I was younger, I was part of a runners club and I did very well. I remember I was more like the party girl. I want to go out. I don't want to train properly. And I remember signing up for a half marathon with my running group who I used to do 10Ks with. And I signed up just simply because it was going to Amsterdam. And then I ended up doing my first half marathon in an hour and 26. So I was a natural athlete, always from that physical way in tune with my body. But now I'm in tune with my body in a deeper level. And when you're in tune with your body in energetic levels, you feel things like emotions, which are energy in motion. And in my world now, I control my emotions in a way that I learn how to shift through them faster. So I become what I teach my clients to become: emotional flexible.
Physical connection leading to an emotional connection, and that makes it deeper. So as you work with some of these successful leaders and you help them understand their energy, understand their bodies, what are some of the issues that you see most people facing, the ones who come to you?
Yeah, most people do not feel like they're in the right size body. So that's the first thing I see. And typically that's more overweight than underweight. They have this sense that they should feel better in the physical frame that they're in. The second thing I would say are more around the mental elements that they have. That can be anything from memory issues, anxiety, just general decision-making abilities and feeling like they're a bit overwhelmed and overburdened in their mind. And then I would say sleep. A lot of my clients suffer from insomnia, and it's the most common one that I treat is the one where they wake up in the middle of the night between 1 and 3. And there's many reasons for that. But these are the typical symptoms that I see. And then when I work with them, it's actually deeper. So then I see a lack of purpose, the clarity in what they're here to do and their unique gifts and their expression, their beliefs that are sabotaging their way of being and not allowing to be living in their highest self.
So it starts with a physical manifestation or either you're overweight or things related to sleep. And then you peel the onion and find things deeper.
That's it, yes.
How does that process work? How do you do that?
Yeah, I've been doing this for the best part of 10 years now. So I've developed a roadmap because of the patterns that I've seen in humans. That roadmap is called the Energy Reset Recipe. And all good recipes, it has amazing ingredients. And there are 4 distinct pillars that I have in my Energy Reset Recipe. The first is I personalize their nutrition. After the nutrition, we look at creating a realistic movement plan. The third is purpose and relationship. And the fourth is the mind and self-care.
Very interesting. Mm. And I know based on our conversation earlier that a starting point is what I found fascinating, energy leaks.
Yes, yes.
You assess people and say, where's their energy getting leaked?
Yes.
I found that concept very interesting. If you could talk a little bit about that.
Of course. When I started my journey, it was in the corporate world originally. And then I moved from that with my first burnout and my passion for my own health to nutrition. And I studied the largest nutrition school in the world. I studied over 56 dietary theories in a very Western understanding of nutrition, but then also understanding Eastern principles. I then wanted to take that further. So I opened up my health coaching practice. That then led me to opening up the restaurant. And through the restaurant, my focus was on whole foods, minimally processed. That taught me that there was something missing. So I traveled all over the world. I spent time with the indigenous people in New Zealand, the Maoris, the Aborigines in Australia. I spent 3 months with the shamans in plant medicine in Costa Rica, 1 month in the south of India learning Ayurveda. And for the best part of 10 years, I've been learning Chinese traditional medicine. So what this brought to me was this understanding of some of the ancient wisdoms and principles and the Western way of thinking. And me myself being born in England and then coming to live in Asia, I was already seeing the nuances between the East and West principles. And so I found this bridge to bring them together. And when I was spending time with all the indigenous people, one of the things that would speak the most about is the purpose and the way that the mind works. In the Western world, one of the things that they spend the most time on is talking about diet and exercise. So what I could see the nuances was the West focus on what's outside, what people see, what we own, and the East focus on what's inside, what's the root cause of the problem, what's your soul here to do. When I started to connect the dots between them, I noticed that the glue that was binding them all together was that everything is energy. And I could see that the principles that we were looking at in terms of who we are as essentially sovereign beings on this planet are people that are energetic beings moving incoherently with an ecosystem that we are part of. And that is about understanding energy frequencies of everything. And so it came to me to realize as a burnt out corporate executive, supporting mainly burnt out corporate executives, that the thing that we all needed was energy. And so then I focused in my efforts.
I love that statement that everything is energy.
Yes.
We just working with energy in this system that we all exist in.
Yeah.
And if we get our energy right, that's what's going to help us thrive.
Yeah. And let me expand on that. When we say everything is energy, the sounds that you are hearing is frequencies of energy. I'm sat on a chair that is made of atoms that are particles of energy. When we understand that energy is our most expensive currency, then you start thinking, how do I take care of that currency? Because this has a great exchange rate. We actually can get served in a restaurant by 2 different people. And the difference between the 2 people doing the same job is the energy they bring to it. So what that really means is you're not getting paid to do your job. You're getting paid for your energy.
Energy is such an important currency. I love that again. How do we figure out how we're using our energy? How do we scan and see where is it leaking? What's the starting point?
This journey for me is like taking people from that outside world into their inside world. And then when I'm looking at that, I just observe where are the things that are draining you. If we look at nutrition, energy drainers are processed foods. So I look at where are your processed foods in your day-to-day nutrition and in your life, and when do you tend to reach for the processed foods? Because then I can see habit formation. I look at movement versus exercise. Most of my clients know how to diet and exercise, and they actually over-exercise a lot of my clients. What they need is to conserve energy and be energy efficient. So example, sometimes they're exercising at night because they're working all throughout the day. But now because they're exercising late at night, they're raising their cortisol, using adrenaline. And when you do that, you can't release melatonin, which is the hormone that promotes deep restorative sleep. So sometimes I need to change their movement so that they can be more efficient with their energy. And I'm looking at their body types. Every body type has a movement pattern that's preferred. We're also primal beings, so we're designed for seven types of movement. These are all the nuances that I'm looking at that help them to create a daily movement plan rather than a three-day exercise habit in the gym. And then I look at purpose, obviously, in relationships. Purpose is the biggest area where my clients lose energy, and that's by being inefficient in their energy by doing something that they're not designed to do, or being in a role that doesn't optimize their unique gifts in the way. Relationships, we've all had those vampires around us. We all know the person in the life, whether it's at home, whether it's in work, or whether it's friendships, that just like to take that energy away from you. And the truth is, there's no matter how many green smoothies you eat or how many times you do your weights in the gym, if you have those energy drainers in your life and you are spending a lot of time with them, nothing else is going to work. We look at the people as the energy drainers. And then lastly, the biggest energy drainer that's with them all day, every single day, is their mind. And for a lot of my clients, that starts to get to work really sometimes when they hit the pillow at night, because they didn't deal with their subconscious thoughts through the day. Then they put the head on the pillow and the brain's like, right, now I've got time. And so we really look at all of those. And these are the energy drainers.
That's so fascinating, all these areas. And I want to click into a few of them. But first, I want to acknowledge this movement versus exercise.
Yes.
That's such a great insight where you could be exercising like crazy, but you could be over-exercising. If you can talk a little bit more about this and then go into the other.
The ideal area of exercise is when you can move energy through the body. So I know if I said to someone, I'm going to make this beautiful curry and you're going to love it. And I put it on the table and they look at it and they're like, oh my God, that looks so good. And I say, okay, don't touch it for an hour. And then I come back in an hour and they're like looking at it going, it's cold. And I go, okay, don't touch it until tonight. And that's 8 hours later. And they're like, I don't think I even want it. And then I go, let's look at it tomorrow and then you can try it. Now, they're going to look at that curry tomorrow and they probably wouldn't even come back for it. And they'll just be like, I'm sorry, that looks like rancid. It looks stale. It's pungent. And you wouldn't even touch it. And it's because of the lack of energy that's gone through it. It's a lack of movement through it. And yet so many of us feel comfortable to sit 8 hours a day with two breaks that have been structured between these man-made hours, and then no energy is moving through the body. So essentially what we want is movement through the body. We want energy to move through the body, should I say. And then we want to go from there into what types of movement do we need based on our individual goals. So this is the personalization bit. Do you want to run a marathon? Do you want to lift twice your body weight? No. Most of my clients, honestly, they just want to look good naked. And so I design movement around that. There are three major types of movement that I look through, and that's cardiovascular movement, resistance movement. I look at flexibility movement. And what I do is make sure that I build a lifestyle for them that incorporates all three.
Let's talk about relationships, because that's the other fascinating part. Relationships, and all of us, like you said, can understand that right away.
Yes.
Some people make us feel more energetic. Some people bring our energy down. How do we scan that in our world, and what are the changes we can make?
The first thing is, I like to look at who are the people that you spend the most time with. And this is very much a Jim Rohn thing, that the people that we spend the most time with have the most influence on us. And it's very true. So in human design, something we can talk about, that's something that I do with my clients. We look at the client's unique energetic blueprint. And some individuals have what we call open centers. So in these parts of their body, they absorb more of the energy frequencies than others. When people say, oh, I'm so empathetic, what they mean, unless they're just copying what somebody else said, is that they have an open energy center in their solar plexus. So they literally feel what the other person is feeling like it's their own. I have that and it makes me an amazing coach, but it's also very difficult when you don't know that you have that, because you're like, oh, I just feel like this today. And it's actually the person that you're with. So it's very important for me then to identify my clients' lives. Who are the people they're spending the time with, and which ones are bringing them energy and which ones are draining them from energy? And when we identify, that's one area. And then the next level that we get them to is when we actually bring in energy givers into their life. People that have high energy, like myself, we're super sensitive about our energy. So the thing is, people that give you energy, they do not like to be around people that are lower energy. This is actually just a science. In physics, we talk about the frequencies that match together, they vibe together. The same energetic frequencies want to be aligned together. So if somebody is a low frequency, and you know this, the person that's like Debbie Downer, like complaining, you just cannot feel like you want to be with them for long periods of time. And yet the person that's all sun and light and just brings the joy to the room, you actually want to spend the most time with them. And what we're actually feeling there without knowing is a frequency of energy that this person emits.
That brings about personalization, which we'll dig into deeper. But you talk about human design, which might be related to this. So I don't know if there's any element of human design that we can discuss.
So human design is a reading that I've spent the last 8 years deeply studying. So I brought this into the practice and it was just a game changer for the health concierge. And so what it is, it uses three of the ancient wisdoms. So we use the Chinese meridian system, which is based on the I Ching. We use the Ayurvedic chakra system, the Hindu system, and we use the Jewish Kabbalah tree. And then we use some of the pseudosciences like astrology and numerology. And in addition to that, we use quantum physics and biology because we all have 64 DNA expressions. So we take that, and with some information that you provide me, I do a reading, and that reading provides me essentially your unique energetic blueprint and gives me the clarity on your purpose. So it's based on this idea that we are all, as we already know and experience in our life, we're all unique. But what we don't actually all know and are given when we are born is what are our unique gifts and what are the ways that we're supposed to use those gifts in the world. And think about how efficient you would be in your energy if you were like, oh, I'm designed to, so I have something called a tribal circuit. So I've got the tribal circuit. So I'm here designed to get the people together, collective. No wonder I opened up a restaurant. Oh, okay. I have the audio sense. So I have the very strong ability to listen to sound and to interpret. I also have the pathway of transformation. I'm here to guide others with their transformation. And yet my overall soul blueprint is to deeply penetrate people. So I just focus on what is the message that might be hard to hear that you need to hear, because that's what my soul's here to do.
And it's combining all these ancient wisdoms like you talked about.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
I actually only need three things: a birth time, a birth date, and birth place. So in the concierge program, I have a number of brilliant professionals that I work with. And one of them is just an amazing astrologist. With that information, we use artificial intelligence now, and we depict that. And that gives us a pictogram. Anyone can download a chart. That's very easy. My job and what I've been studying for 8 years is how to interpret that picture and that visual into how you're going to live your life. And so when somebody's on the health concierge with me, we've got 12 weeks together implementing their human design. And to be honest, all my clients, even when they're not in that time, we're always still working continuously on their human design because I just love watching them express their gifts. And many of my clients I work with and collaborate with because I know their gifts and I know how they complement mine.
That's so cool. You brought in purpose, and maybe we go deeper into it, which is unique. And what you said reminds me a little bit about, I was listening to a podcast of Robert Greene, and he talked about every person, exactly what you said, is completely unique.
Yes.
In terms of your DNAs, and then, of course, with the circumstances that you go into. Mm. What is purpose to you? And how can people go about figuring that out?
Yeah. So I believe in the moment that we were born, that our soul came here with an intention. And obviously it's in this physical frame. It has to survive in order to live out its intention. What we know through just studies of the brain and human psychology is that the brain in the first 7 years is in this sponge-like state, and it's absorbing everything from its environment. We learn from our first guardians, which are typically our parents, then our teachers, then our community, our environment, and then later on, usually our intimate partner and our friendships. In this sponge-like state, it's the hardware of a computer. That hardware is only 5% of the computer, but the programs that are running that computer are the 95%. That 95% represents our subconscious, our thoughts and our beliefs. And the first 7 years, you are literally absorbing all of those from somebody else. So somebody else is giving you the programs in order for you to run. And then what happens is between 7 and 14, you figure out, oh, I know how these programs run. Let me put my own blueprint on it. I like to say the children are the most evolved versions of ourselves, and we're the most evolved versions of our parents. What happens now is we get to this stage, which I used to believe the midlife crisis was at 45, 40, now then 35, and now it seems to be younger, where we're like, hang on a minute. These habits, this way that I live, is no longer serving me. And we start looking for answers. And that's when you find a lot of people going on this quest for purpose. And up until that point, we have been trying to figure out our soul's expression. If you're lucky and you get human design early, or like my clients who get me to do it for their kids, then you've got clarity from the moment you're born. If you're even more fortunate, you may have gone to some of the brilliant schools like Steiner or Montessori that really are trying to nurture that. But for most of us, we've got the typical education system, which numbs us from the neck downwards and just makes us focus on our brain. We go into this life and we start feeling and experiencing life. And what we're looking for in life is this thing that brings the high energy frequencies, i.e. joy and peace, which when you look at the energy frequency chart, they're at the highest. We're looking for that. Ultimately, what I'm trying to get my clients to when they work with me is inner peace, which is one of the highest energetic frequencies. When you're doing something that you love, like, honestly, when I just sit here and talk to you, because this is completely part of my design to share messages that just deeply penetrate, I can't tell you the joy that just fills in my heart. I feel my heart, it feels light, it feels expansive, it just feels so uplifted. And that's because this is what I'm designed to do. When you feel those moments, you start going, do you know what? I don't need the handbag, the beautiful house and the car and the country club and all. Feel these higher frequencies. But what I do need to do is I need to make sure that my daily expression is doing something that allows me to feel this state. For many people, what they believe is burnout is overworking. But what burnout is actually the soul's expression at conflict with what they're doing day to day. And because of that resistance, they burn out. Because the soul's only way to stop you from going down that path and not your true intended path is to burn you out, is to physically take energy away from you so you can't move forward.
It's almost like if you constantly going against the wave, just keep going against the wave, you will burn out.
Yes.
But if you're with the wave,
yes,
in that frequency,
yeah,
that's where you're on a path of purpose.
Yeah. You're driving and you put the car into the wrong gear and you try and push forward. It's like screeching, yeah, and you'll do damage to the car. That's what a burnout is for us in the physical, yeah, expression of it.
I loved your concept of joy and inner peace and calling it the top
on the frequency chart. You can see this in quantum physics. Yeah. There is a chart. Yeah. If you just Google energy frequency chart, you will see it. And at the bottom of that chart, you're going to see things like fear and guilt and grief, which are low expressions. And of course, everybody who's felt in love before knows what that feels like. It's so expansive. It just heals. Obviously, there's all the other things that come with it, like oxytocin and all that. But literally, when you're in love, your body goes through a healing process. And there is a true thing of heartbreak as well, like when they scan the heart.
It was surprising to me when I heard the same thing about peace, where peace is not necessarily static, like restful state. It is a state of a verb. It's like getting there. And I think, I don't know if you listen to Huberman's podcast, listen to his talk with Dr. Paul Conti, where he talked about peace is like a generative drive. Mm. You're doing something to experience peace. So I found that exciting.
Lovely. I've not heard that particular podcast, but I love his generally. But for me, this is very empowering because when you practice a muscle that allows you to get to there, and then that muscle becomes strong, then you get to be able to shift into that state faster. That's what we're doing. That's what we're trying to do. When I work with clients on the health concierge, I'm trying to look at all areas of their life where they're not able to shift into those higher frequencies faster. And then we're making small little tweaks that are really easy, really manageable, really sustainable. And with those tweaks now, we can shift them into those higher frequencies fast. It doesn't mean that you don't experience grief or anger or fear or any of those, but you have an awareness of it is, and then you know how to shift into those other frequencies faster. And of course, in the higher frequencies, we heal. So physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, we have well-being.
Yeah. So if I just break it down.
Yeah.
Our purpose is to go to higher frequencies.
Yeah.
Joy, peace, sit in higher frequencies.
Yeah.
Starting point is to see who we are. So we have certain gifts, like you say, there's an individual blueprint. And as we start focusing on that, we keep tuning a bit
The beautiful thing about human design is we give you literally what the soul has come here to do. So when I say I'm here to deeply penetrate people with a message, I cut through all of the noise that is out there and I simplify the message. That's actually what my soul came here to do. So if I know that, then I look at my gifts. What are the gifts that I've been given in order to do that? And my gifts are even who are the people. So in human design, we know the people that are supposed to be the ones that get us there. So now I can surround myself. So do you see how this becomes a very efficient use of my energy? This whole quest for the purpose, looking for the purpose, there are multiple ways of getting there, but we are trying to shortcut that process and then just allow you to use those gifts. One thing that I will say is consistent in all the expressions of, we call it the incarnation cross, like what the soul came here to do, the purpose. It's of being of service to humanity.
You work with Eastern wisdom and Western science. Yeah. And a lot of us are brought up in the rational way, logical. Like we need to prove it. This is right. Let's do this.
Try having a mom that was a lawyer.
Exactly. And in the Eastern world, it's about experiencing and feeling it and saying, this feels right. My body tells me this is right. How do you bring it together and get the buy-in from a lot of these ambitious folks who may be very rational in their mind?
The first thing is, like me, obviously, I was born in an environment that was very rational. Come from families that have lawyers and doctors and we're all very cognitive. This was a huge journey for me. But what I realized is most people need the knowledge first, then they need to experience it because that's how they were conditioned. Our children will be different. But the first thing is understanding. So understand that we are social creatures, what we now call community, teams, was tribes. And we moved in tribes for survival reasons. And in those tribes, you had a person in the tribe that got these, like what we call downloads. And in human design, these are the manifestors. They would get this wisdom before everybody else and they would share it with the other tribes. Then we used a lot more of the somatical intelligence of our body. That's things like our spleen, which controls intuition, and our primal gut, which we now know through a lot of this biology work that we do, that our gut has all of these sensors in it. It's like its own little brain. We know that the body has its own sophisticated intelligence. Wisdom was passed in the tribe in that way through storytelling. It was what we call folklore. Then we moved on from that, and then it was religion. Religion became the blueprint of how to live your life. It told you what was right, what was wrong. We had kings and queens, we had rulers in this way. We've moved from there to governments and politicians. Now we have law, legislation that lays out what's right or wrong. In this evolution of human consciousness, one of the things that happened is we used science as the way to interpret some of the information. But before science, we were deeply embedded in the wisdom of the land and the people's somatic intelligence, sensing and feeling. So we are not doing something that's never been done before. We're just actually returning. And here's what I love, because I realize the more and more I speak to scientists, that scientists will always tell us, we know so little. And people that are not scientists will always say, oh, and what does the science say? When you speak to the elders in ancient wisdom or in all the indigenous populations, what they know is something that the science is still trying to articulate. Because if you understand how science really works and what it takes to produce a research paper, that requires a lot of funding. Research papers on, for example, women doing fasting doesn't get as much funding, funnily enough, as other things, right? How do I get this food product to taste so addictive that a human will just consume it and this is the amount of money I will produce? The funding that projects get dictates the scientific research and papers that are done, unfortunately. And what that means is if you are a person that only relies on science, you're always going to be behind. So I want my clients to be in the top 5% of purpose-driven leaders in the world. I really want to be serving those people that are here to change humanity. And in order to do that, I need them to be smart with their brain. So I need to clear out the brain fog with the nutrition, the movement, and all the other energy principles. And then I need to be able to tap into the somatic intelligence of their body, because that's what's going to take them to another level. That's what's going to give them ideas that are not shared around them. In my community, I see quite often that people are doing things that I do in a different way, which I love. It's their own interpretation of it. But what I really want from them is to learn their unique soul blueprint of doing it, because then you don't actually have to feel like you have to copy and do it better. You actually just do your interpretation. And then if we do that, we all get to play together with our own unique expression. But you can only do that if you learn to tap into your own inner wisdom.
And just to add to that, bringing these things together, there was this book which inspired my thoughts around this, Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Repair. where he talks about science is a construct. It's our best belief of how things stand today. And tomorrow, if a better belief comes, it goes there. So it's not like a fixed, absolutely true thing. A logical construct will only get you to a certain place.
Yes.
So that's why that other part, which is, like you said, neck downwards,
yes,
accessing other parts of our body to experience other things, is so much needed to achieve our full potential,
yeah,
to live a life of
exactly
purpose.
So a good example is the cognitive brain. Yeah. We were so reliant on the cognitive brain that we built up a whole education system around learning and memorizing and then forgetting after you've passed the exam. Whereas now we have this new science that's come out and we're like, oh, actually, the gut is the second brain, and the gut has 70% of our serotonin, which is our feel-good hormone. The gut has its own immune system. Oh my gosh, the gut is—it's got this ecosystem that's going out. It's called a microbiome, which is all the bacteria and viruses and all that that cover our body, and most of those bacteria are in our gut. And so our gut has its own intelligence. It literally is its own nervous system. We never knew that before. We built a whole education system around believing that the mind was our brain. In human design, every single individual has their own brain. We teach you what is your brain. I have the primal brain, which is the sacral. That is a gut feeling. So my gut, what it tells me when I've taught myself how to listen to it, and there is a way to listen to your gut in a certain way in your human design, I know that if I listen to that versus my brain, I will get the right answer. But if I didn't know that, and I've just gone through the normal human conditioning, then I'm all in my head. And do you understand why so many people are suffering anxiety? I believe that the reason why humans, and this is just a belief, but the reason why so many humans are suffering from mental illnesses and anxiety is because we have now raised to a level of consciousness that we've over-exhausted the brain's ability. And because of that, we're being forced to go back into our body.
You talked a little bit about how to access your gut and you,
yes,
can listen to it. And
yeah,
I know that could be a little, it's difficult for people to do it unless they've gone through,
yeah,
some exercise. But just for others who are looking at starting to access,
yeah,
their gut,
yeah,
what are ways in which they can start doing?
In human design, when we have we call it a sacral response, our primal ancestors, we relied on sound way more than we did words. It's funny because for me, again, this is one of those East to West principles. In the West, we're so reliant on verbal communication. Just take the example of an American moving to China. One of the first things they're going to feel is like, they can't express themselves. Why don't people just say what they think? Yeah. So all of these are because in the West, we rely heavily on verbal communication. But we actually know that most of the communication that we do is non-verbal. Back in the times when we were primal, we actually were looking at our sound and our environment a lot more. There's a sound that hits the sacral, that makes the sacral ping, where you can feel it internally, a bit like somebody just tapped on your shoulder, and it happens internally. And these sounds are uh-huh and mm-mm, uh-huh and mm-mm. And that's the equivalent of the words yes or no. And actually, if you notice, there are a lot of children out there, and especially those that have sacral, until they're told and they're pushed to speak, they actually naturally go mm-hmm, uh-uh. They naturally do these sounds, and these are the sacral sounds. So I teach my clients that have the sacral to be able to use these sounds in response until they train those muscles. Because what I want is them to practice on small things like, do you want tea or coffee this morning? So that when the big decisions come in their life, like relationships, like the work that they do, like where they live, that now that muscle is so strong that they can't even consider listening to anything else. And that's where I am. I'm at that stage where I couldn't even logically, if it's on paper, I will always look at it. But my immediate is, what's my sacral saying? And the sacral tends to speak in the moment. So it's even better. When people say, I've got butterflies in my stomach, or I've just got this gut feeling, this is words that we've put to the sacral intelligence.
So the sacral intelligence has a lot to do with sound. And yeah, and that's the way for us to start getting connected to it with smaller things.
Yes.
And then we build it up.
Yeah. But it's also, it's sound, but it's actually more of a feeling well.
Okay.
Because the sound triggers the feeling.
We've talked about so many topics. Is there something that we haven't touched upon that we should talk about?
I think we just really want to set a vision for moving forward. What I would say in that is, in that quest to purpose, look at what you are doing that is being of service to others in some way. Look at the areas in your life that bring you the most joy. Also know that if you are in your head too much about the how and the why and if it will work out, that's the fear response, which is normal. It's a human reaction to keep us alive. Just try to notice more. How do you feel? The cognitive brain is a lot about what do you think. The heart is the largest electromagnetic field in the body. So start tapping the energy, moving it from the head slowly downwards into what do I think, into how do I feel. That will give you so many more answers and so much more clarity.
And that's the starting point of using the rest of our body. Elika, last question. Yes. Before we leave. You've done so many fascinating things. Mm. This is a question I ask everyone. Mm. At the end of your life, how would you know you've lived a good life?
Oh, I suppose in that moment, I will be feeling some of the highest frequencies you can. And for me, that's inner peace.
Wonderful. You're doing such a good service to humanity, Elika. Thank you for spreading all these messages through different forums. And I wish you all the very best.
Oh, thank you. It's been so much pleasure. I'm so grateful for you to have me today and spend time with me.
Thank you, Elika, for such an enlightening conversation. For more on Elika, check out the show notes. Here's an action step all of us could consider. Let's think about energy leaks in our life. Where are we leaking energy? Could it be around food? What food makes us drowsy, sleepy? Are we eating too much? Movement. I love the distinction between movement and exercise. We could be sitting for 8 hours and then work out for 1 hour and think we're doing well. Relationships. Who are the people not in our frequency that drain us? How can we manage it? Inner talk. Does your mind go crazy with negative talk? You can listen to episode 23, Reducing Mental Chatter, for some tips. Purpose. Are we doing what we are meant to do? You could listen to episode 58 on purpose in everyday life, or episode 37, Finding Purpose at Work, for some inspiration. Best of luck as you reclaim your energy. I hope you enjoyed this episode. The next one will drop 2 weeks from now on February 27th. Do join us for that. Till next time, have a wonderful day ahead. Bye-bye.